Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما
Six minutes after 11 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning, and you know, of course, it's time for the bliss of marriage with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. Hafidhahullah. Well, today is the 15th of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1443, which is also the 18th of January, 2022. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, that is Brother Bonface, and not forgetting our beloved wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, and our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132, +27847863132. Let's welcome our beloved honorable Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Listener says, he just says, dear Mufti Saab, not wanting to marry person, but parents forcing. Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we have two different scenarios. If it is a son, and now the parents are forcing you to get married, so now we have to look at you, that you are a male, you're 25, 30, 35 years old, you're not married. So obviously the parents have all the right to go and force you. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-A'zabu shaitan. A confirmed bachelor is Satan, is shaitan, is Lucifer, is the Satan. And the hadith is mentioned in Mustada Ahmad. So therefore, they are looking at your own welfare. Unless you have a real problem, you're impotent, or you are sickly, or some other problem you have, then you need to be fair and tell them about it and so forth. And if you are a lady, and now you are 20, 25, 30, 35, so obviously the parents will be concerned that why you don't want to get married. Proposals are coming, but you keep on refusing. So that is one way of looking at it. Second one is this, that you say, but I'm only 17 years old, 18, 19 years old, so why are they forcing me to get married? Then you are valid, then your argument is valid, that sometimes parents just want to get their daughters married because they feel that, you know, that now let us just get them married, so, but you're not happy about it. So in that case there, the parents cannot impose upon the daughter that she must get married to so and so person when she does dislikes that person there. So anyway, as far as possible, we should be accommodating our parents. But if they're going over and beyond the limits of the Sharia, then you don't have to listen to them, because Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's golden teaching and maxim, La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation, whether it is parents or teacher or whoever else, when it leads to a sin against the Creator. This is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif. But end of the day, you, my son, my daughter, I will always tell you that read Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. So in that way, they all, may Allah will have mercy on you and on your parents.
I would like to remain anonymous, Mufti Saab. My friend's husband had an affair with her cousin. She is finding it very difficult to accept him. I tried to bring them together, and she has two small daughters, age 2 years and a baby 2 months. Please advise, Ustad.
The way I understand the question, there is a couple, they are married, and now they have two children, one daughter 2 years old, one daughter 2 months old. Now the husband says that the wife has got two children, and she's so busy with the children, she's no more so slim and no more so trim and what have you, and then he decided to have an affair with his wife's cousin or his own cousin or whoever else. So what do we really mean by an affair? Was it just kissing, touching and so forth, or was it the whole act of adultery? If it was an act of adultery and so forth, then remember the death penalty is applicable for adultery. On this there are no two opinions, and all four schools agree, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, Hanafi's. Second one is this: in a case like that, you, the wife, must decide, do you want to forgive him? Do you want an annulment of marriage? Do you want the divorce? All these options are available for you. So you must make istikhara and see that what is the best thing to do. If your husband is committing this type of crimes many a time, 3, 4, 5, 10 times, then it's best for you to leave him, because you are tayyiba, you are pure and chaste. And he, according to Quran terminology, is khabis, is impure, immoral. And therefore now he won't find you interesting. Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin, wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat. The Quran Kareem states that the lady who is impure, she will be inclined to the impure man. And you see today what's happening. Married women busy with married men or with a single person, and they want action, and they want to meet in the hotel and meet here and there and what have you. So both parties have become impure. So you must make istikhara and see what is for your best interest. Remember, it's not only your life, it's your life and your two ma'asum, innocent children as well. So therefore you need to think properly. Maybe you should discuss this with your parents as well, or your brother or somebody, and then you take a final decision. My advice to you, if it is first time, then better for you to reconcile and make a condition. If this happens again, then automatically a talaq and divorce will fall. But if it's happening habitually, then it's best for you to leave such an immoral person, because remember, tomorrow he will afflict you with AIDS, with STD, sexually transmitted diseases and so forth. And what example is he for your beloved flowers and daughters, when he himself has become a khabith, an impure, immoral person? But all said and done, it is your decision. You can request a talaq, divorce, you can forgive him, or you can go to the ulama and apply for a fasakh and annulment. So all these type of options are available to you.
Anonymous parent says, my son is a devil worshipper, dear Honorable Mufti Saab. How does a parent take their own kid's life? Is there any hope for him? He's taunting us as a family, Ustad.
Remember, if what you are saying is true, Because remember, we answer the questions as the questions are posed to us. So if you say that your son is worshipping the devil, meaning that he has become a member of the satanic faith, that they believe in Shaitan, they believe in Lucifer, and to cap it all, he's mocking you, the parents, for what you're reading Salat, for what you're fasting, for what you're reading Quran. So obviously he is murtad out of the fold of Islam. And in a case like that, you, the parent, should expel him, kick him out of the house. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. We love for Almighty Allah's sake, and we hate for Almighty Allah's sake. And if he is sane and mature and is doing all this action, then Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtulu. He was born a Muslim, he grew up a Muslim, and then he went on the internet or he met some friends, and then they made a big impression on him. He denounced Islam, aliyadu billah, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, and he joined Satanism and so forth. And to go further, he's mocking all of you for practicing on Islam. So a person like that, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is murtad, and the punishment for an apostate murtad faqtulu is the death penalty. So that is in a true Islamic country, which we don't have nowadays. So what is within your power is muqata'a. Muqata'a means you kick him out of the house. And remember, you have nothing to do with him, and he must have nothing to do with you. A complete social boycott of him. You excommunicate him. So that's the minimum you must do. Kick him out immediately. Tell him that's the door, and you go now, because you are a Satan worshipper and so forth, and a devil worshipper. So that is wajib and compulsory upon you to do so.
Anonymous parents say, dear Mustab, that's exactly what's happening. He has joined the Satanist group, Ustad.
Yes, so I told you what to do. You and your husband, you and your wife and your children, all of you must stand one side united, have a united stand, and tell him to get out. He's no more part of us, and we are no more part of him. One day when he realizes, he'll come back crawling. But for the time being, you have to be cruel, to be kind, kick him out and tell him he's not welcome here.
Allahu Akbar. Listen to this question, Ustad. Somebody says that they did try calling Mufti Saab yesterday after Salatul Isha, but no call, no news from you. I have 5 kids, all grown up now, Mufti Saab. My ex-husband just walked in one day and divorced me without any explanation. Mufti Saab, don't I have the right to know why? I am still in iddat, Ustad.
Remember, on Monday nights, maybe you're not aware or you're aware, but you forgot about it. You know, Monday nights from 8 to 10, we have program, and by the time I go upstairs and so forth, it's already 10:30 or so forth. So I get 101 messages, 101 calls, so we don't know which one is important and so forth. But we try and answer everyone, the person's call, whether it is phone call or WhatsApp or SMS or whether it's email or what have you. So therefore, that maybe you phoned that time there, so we were live on air, so therefore. Nevertheless, now let us look at the situation. You and your husband, you are married. You have 5 children. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So one day his mood went wrong, or you said something, or whatever the circumstances, and then he gave you talaq. So the way it seems that he gave you all 3 talaqs. If he gave you all 3 talaqs, we majlis in Wahid, in one time, one place, remember, according to all 4 schools, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, the Malikis, all 3 talaqs are valid. And the sin is on him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala should say, if any person issues 3 talaq in writing or verbally, orally, one time, triple divorce, bring him to me, la'auja'atuhu, then I will whip him and lash him in public. And the fatwa of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an is mentioned in the Sunan of Sa'id bin Mansur. So it's sinful, but remember, all 3 talaqs will be valid. Are you justified to know why? Of course you are justified, but remember, that will not change anything. The 3 talaqs are valid. Yes, you are now in iddat. Your iddat will be 3 menses. So if you were in menses, that menses is not counted. Another 3 menses. And when the third menses ends, then your iddat will finish. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 2, verses 227, 228. All the laws are there. The word salatha daquru, three quru, the Hanafis and Hanbali scholars say it refers to and means three menses. The Malikis and the Shafi'is, they say no, it alludes to three periods of cleanliness. So the word quru is one word with two opposite meanings. So Shafi'is, Malikis, after the talaq, three periods of cleanliness, then your iddat will expire. And Hanafis and Hanbalis, three periods of your menses and of your napaki, so then your iddat will expire. So iddat is compulsory upon you. So you, as the divorced wife, you must claim from your husband, your ex-husband, that all the maintenance and so forth for yourself during your iddat period. So that is compulsory. He must pay you and for your rental and expenses and everything. For your children, remember, if they are daughters, he has to continue paying till they get married. And if they are sons, till they reach the age of 15, 16, 17, around there, he must continue paying for them. If he does not pay, leave all the ulama and jamiats and myself, and we can't do anything. We don't have any executive power. But today people, they lie, you know. Fraudsters, they say, they write to Pakistan and tell the people that when we pass a verdict, then our verdict is binding on the people, Muslims of South Africa. Absolute lie that is. So you must remember, we can't do anything. So it is just advisory capacity. So especially in these kind of cases, so we can't go and punish that person who doesn't pay. So you go straight to court and make sure that he must pay for all the children. It is his children and he's the father of the children. So therefore you must remember that that will be your options that are easily available to you.
Ustad, the question says they did give her three talaqs, Ustad.
Yeah, so in that case there is what happens, that he must still pay for you, the wife, ex-wife, for your iddat period. And children, I told you, and if he doesn't pay, you go straight to court. Remember that and make sure he must pay.
Ustad, there's a granny here says that Salams Mufti Sab, I'm the granny of my grandson who is a devil worshipper. With your permission, are we allowed to take his life or to kill him? We don't want him to continue sinning. The granny will start.
Remember, Nanima, Dadima, in Islam, we are not allowed to take the law in our own hands. We understand how disappointed you feel. It is your own pota, your son's son, or it is your own nawasa, your own daughter's son. But remember, Nani or Dadi, that for you to get somebody to put a bullet through him or kill him, Islamically, that would not be permissible. Why? Because Islam says everything must be done. We fulfill our duty with beauty. If everybody is going to do that, we take the law in our own hands, what will happen? It will lead to total anarchy, lawlessness, mayhem and chaos. So Islam does not allow that. So what you must do, Nanima, Dadima, is the following. First thing, make dua. Ya Allah, this grandson of ours is gone into Hizbu Shaitan. He has join the Satan's party, Shaitan's party. Ya Allah, you give him tawfiq. Bring him back to the right path, Ya Allah. If Allah Ta'ala wants, tomorrow he can make tawbah. Today he can make tawbah. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Second thing you must do, Nanima, Dadima, and the whole family, you must make muqata'a. You all must tell him, no salam, no kalam, we're kicking you out of our life. Because now you have become the devil worshipper, Satan worshipper, and so forth and so on. And that is the minimum you have to do. And if he makes tawbah, then alhamdulillah. If he doesn't make tawbah, then remember, he dies a murtad and apostate out of the fall of Islam. Yes, in a true Muslim country, Islamic country, which we don't have, so there the death penalty will be applicable. The hadith I told you in Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtulu. But for y'all to get somebody, a hitman, and put him away, so remember, you can't do that Islamically.
I see there's a brother in Lodja Mustad says that Badia Mufti Sab, how on earth they are getting it right with our kids? It's happening also here in Lodium. I know my stepdaughter, she also was going into Shiazam, Ustad.
Remember that today money speaks all languages. You must understand there's 2-3 laws. Aurat aur daulat ne ummat ko barbaad kar diya. That's the law. So women and money have destroyed the ummah. I was offered there in Pretoria. So you must remember so much money and telling me that thus don't stop speaking against the Shias, Shia lo Shia, they told me. So leave the Shias one side and so forth. So we told them with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, Islam is not for sale and we not for sale. We are here. Our allegiance is with all Almighty Allah. Our allegiance is to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our allegiance is to Islam. If everybody swears out, so be it. But we have to defend Islam and we have to show our allegiance. Life is short. Tomorrow we have to go and stand in the court of Allah. So now let me give you 3 examples. There is a young boy. And this young boy, yeah, now his parents are okay, middle class, this, that. Now the Shias meet him, the devil worshippers meet him, the Christians meet him, and they tell him, you're a smart guy, sharp guy, and yes, $100, $1,000, we will give you a week, a month, and the Shia, they will tell him, we give you a woman also, you can make muta, prostitution with her, because according to them, muta is totally permissible. Khomeini, la'anahullah, Allah's curse be on him, writes in Tawdihul Masail, you can make which I have by me, which they gave me. So you must remember, you can make mut'ah prostitution for 1 hour. I'm asking you, brother in Lodium or Erasmia or Claudius or Central Pretoria, how many youngsters will refuse that offer? I'm getting dollars, plus I'm getting a woman and so forth. Let me go enjoy the life. Because we, the parents, we didn't do our work properly. We did not show them that what is the true allegiance to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, what is the true allegiance to Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Deenul Islam, to the religion of Islam. So that's one scenario. Second scenario, so there was aurat and daulat, money, and you must remember the woman. Sometimes it's the girl, and they will tell her, your parents are so strict with you, wear ijar and wear scarf and wear hijab and read namaz and do this and do this. We can give you something better. So she finds us impressionable and says, I got my freedom and so forth and so on. And then she also runs away. And where she goes, now she's in the trap of the shaitan, in the satanic trap. Afterwards, she realizes that she left to use her body and so forth. So now she's involved in the drug industry, she's involved in the prostitution, she's involved in so many vices, and now for her to come out from there will be very, very difficult, because you must remember. And if you think I'm making up these stories, my student is here, you can go and ask him. You must remember, near Roshni, there's a place called the Deer, Maulana Riyaz Limbada. Sometimes he meets me, sometimes I ask him, tell me the latest. Allah. And when he tells you the stories, you will cry, not tears, you will cry blood. What is happening to our Muslim daughters, sisters? His rehab caters for male and female, but primarily female. And go and see, we're speaking of Muslims. So what things, how the women are getting addicted to Satanism, to drugs and boyfriends, selling their bodies and so forth and so on. So this is in the name of freedom. So that's how they get caught up in this web of deceit. We must remember that. So that is the second scenario. Third scenario is this. You didn't hear last week what happened in Egypt, last week or 2 weeks ago? So this girl, see, it is the headline news in Egypt. So you must remember the 16-year-old girl. Two youngsters from school or whatever, they wanted a date with her. She said, no, I won't go. She said, you won't go. Fine, we will fix you up. So they had some picture of her, snap of her, that maybe undressing or doing something. They managed to take it and that. They told her, we're going to put this all on the internet and expose you. So what she did, the next day she committed suicide. See how they blackmail people and so. This happened in Egypt. So you must remember these type of things. So that is what they do. That our girl, our daughter gets caught up. She will kiss this boy. She will go out with this boy. They will take a photo in a compromising situation, position. And then the blackmail starts. You must remember that. That they tell you, you better do this or do this. Otherwise, we're going to expose you on the internet and so forth. So therefore, I told you 100 times. But we don't listen. Today, people, the woman send me questions. Their profile picture is there. So you're setting yourself up already that your picture is there, and sometimes you must see the way they are dressed and so forth. It leaves a very little to the imagination. Yeah. So you set yourself up. You must remember to be a target. So now that person says, yes, I the bohari lage. So this one looks very nice. So now they start with the sweet talk, and we can do this, we can do that. And then they get caught up in the web. Remember this. So they are so many ways these things will happen there, but end of the day, it all comes down to one thing, and what is that? Lack of commitment, devotion, allegiance to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to Islam, what we call lack of Iman. So that is the main cause for all these things here. So you must, Shias are waiting to take us, Christians are waiting, the Satanists are waiting, and so many enemies and haramis are waiting. So remember, and especially they will target our women. Remember that. So therefore, you know the Qadianis. So how many of them are busy also? Shias, how many of them are busy? And they get paid also. Remember that. So therefore, we must all, what advice I gave you? I told you the beginning of the academic year. First thing, Ya Bunayya La Tushrik Billah, that we as parents sit with our children, explain to them what our system of belief is. You have to live a life of a Muslim and die as a Muslim. Then we can say, I was a successful father, successful mother. Otherwise, I as a parent also failed in my parenting. Allah have mercy on us and protect us.
Somebody says, Mufti Sahib, I wanted to find out what happens to my uncle's possessions and assets if anything happens to him. He is divorced with one daughter. However, he does not have any contact or access to his daughter. His father is late, and he has his mother, one brother, and two sisters who started.
So remember, your uncle is Muslim, and Allah alone knows what happened between him and his wife, but she's history. So he divorced her, so she's out of the picture. So we must carry on with the geography now. So you must just see, Maulana, that I'm mentioning the age. If I mention it correctly, the way I understood it is that he, your uncle, that is, so this brother here, his mother is alive, so that is now she will inherit the shares I'll give you. Then he has a daughter. Whether he has contact, no contact, that will not impact on the inheritance. So the daughter will inherit, provided that she's still Muslim. And then how many siblings, how many brothers, sisters?
One brother, two sisters will start.
Right, one brother, two sisters. So these are the shares now. So all must be Muslim. Remember that to inherit. They must be Muslim, then this is the shares. So for the daughter, 50%, so half. And for the mother, 1/6, just under 17%. And then there's one brother and two sisters.
Jewstar.
Right. One brother, two sisters. So we said daughter, 50%. We said for the mother, just under 17%. And now the 33% plus that is left. So you will make 4 shares there. 2 shares for the brother of your uncle, and one share each for the daughter, for the sisters. So again, I repeat, daughter, 50%. Mother, 1/6. This is biological mother. And the residue remained the 4 shares. So two shares for the brother and one share each for the two sisters. That is how it will work. But remember, first and before that will come the burial funeral expenses. Second, the debts of the deceased, personal debts, business debts, corporate debts, all must be paid to the creditors immediately. Third, wasiyah. He said, give this person, that person, or he said, give this organization, and they're doing good work. So all that will be implemented, maximum 1/3 of the net estate. And fourth, the shares of the heirs. So daughter 50%, mother 1/6, just under 17%, and the residue remainder, 4 shares, 2 for the brother and 1/1 for the sister. So that is how you will wind up the estate of the deceased.
Listener says, all are Muslim, Ustad.
Yeah, that's fine. So that is how you'll give the shares.
Somebody says, if y'all are a true Islamic radio station, you'll say y'all are the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then why don't y'all have your own organization to help the people in Ladysmith? Because all the other organizations stinks, Mufti Saab. Ustad.
So you must remember this. Our job is media. So media is, we will highlight all the issues and so forth. It's not that now we're going to become people to collect money and so forth. No. That is what you said. You said exactly that so many organizations, they stink and so forth. And I sent out one day a whole list, and I told you that there's ABC, XYZ, and so forth. You must not give them a cent. No, you're lillah. Because we know that they have so many problems and they're pocketing the money and so forth and so on. So for us, I always say, you must remember, we're not here to collect money. We are here to educate the Ummah.
Haq.
So you must remember our aim to educate the Muslims and to propagate to the non-Muslims. So there's many ways how we can help the people of Ladysmith or wherever else there are problems. So we tell people that you must give this organization or that organization and so forth. But we don't have to go there ourselves and start giving out, because we don't have that money, we don't collect money and so forth. So therefore, you guys don't think that because we belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are not a welfare organization, we are not a social organization to help people like that. If there are people who need the help, we will do networking. Networking means we will tell this person, that person, try and help this family out and so forth. So that much we do. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
One more question, Ustad, before we go for an interval. Mufti Saab, I am on my 7th marriage. I have a kid from each man. So Mufti Saab, my first kid is asking me who her families are. Are they from only the first marriage or from all? Ustad, anonymous.
So you are my sister. When we people go for tawaf, they go 7 rounds, you know. And then 7 rounds, they make 1 tawaf. And Safa Marwa, Safa to Marwa is 1. Marwa to Safa is 2. Mm-hmm. So when you finish 7, then you finish Sa'i. So it looks like you finished 6 husbands already. Now you're busy with the 7th one. And from each one, maybe you got a son or a daughter or children or what have you. So now each one of them, because not they are asking, the same example like you gave, one lady contacted me. Now I know the family. So I told her, but sister, don't you even feel ashamed and shy that you would see your 7th husband and so forth? She says, it's not that what you are thinking. It's the loneliness that kills us and so forth. So therefore, I get married. I said, what about your children? He say, you know that how the other children mock my children in school. They say, Your mother got 7 husbands, and from husband 1 she got this one, from husband 2 this one, husband 3. So that is what's happening to your children. So therefore they're going to ask you that, ummi or mother, well, how many husbands you got and how many children you made with these husbands, Allah, and so forth. So see what Nabi alayhi salam said, la yambaghi lil mu'mini ay yuzilla nafsa. It's not permissible, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, it's not permissible for a Muslim to go and disgrace themselves. Now you get married and then you break. There's one lady I know that she got 6 times married, and one marriage lasted for 2 days, 4 days, or 1 week or something. So I asked her and told her that, now please, I think it's enough, you got married so many times, made khidmat of your parents and so so forth and so on. So that, so sister, you're still going to experience more and more. When the children grow up, you must remember these type of things. Not because they only want to know, but because they go to school, they go to madrasa, they interact with others. So one surname is ABC. The second one is XYZ. The other one is TDK. The other one is JDB. And this type of, it's all number plate numbers there. So the people start wondering, but now what is this? This is a proper mixed masala going on. Then it comes, no, but my mother got married 6 times and now she's busy with the 7th one to finish the tawaf. So you see, sister, so who you blame? You don't blame the children. You blame yourself. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. I even told the one lady, I say, sister, you sure you didn't read the ayat upside down? The men can have four wives, you know, at one time and so forth. But you went further than that. You busy with husband number 6 and 7 and all that. So you are bringing all the musibat upon yourself. And something must be wrong with you, my sister. How can 6 husbands be wrong? I'm asking you. We can say 1 husband, 2 husbands, but now you 4, 5, 6, you finished them all up. Some died also and some divorced you also. And now you're busy with the 7th one. So think, you might be the big problem, not them. So that is my advice to you.
I see there's a listener who starts from Cape Town. And she says, I'm also in this situation. And Mufti Saab Kasi, she says it's her 9th marriage. You won't understand, Mufti Saab, it's all about loneliness, Mufti Saab. We don't want to commit zina. Kanala, Mufti Saab, Cape Town.
Yeah. Yes, Cape Town, you must remember the men going to use you many a time, because you must remember the ratio there is different. So you got for every 1 male, you got 7, 8, 9 female. So now you feel that this guy is right, this guy is right. They use you and they will tell you you're used to it now. There you're already busy with husband number 9 and so forth and so on. Let's take your argument that you are lonely and so forth. Right, that's what you are saying. So I'm asking you, if you are lonely, so why don't you understand that you fill your life with such activities where you can become an asset to your children, to the ummah and so forth. If you're speaking about you fear committing zina and so forth, so you fast, and you fast second day. So may Dawood, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afdalu Sawm Siyami Dawood. So in that way Islam gave solutions, but now you complicate your life so much, and now husband 1, husband 2, everyone, there's a child involved or children involved. Now who is going to complicate the life even more for them? You. So don't think, I don't know you, I'm just here giving advice. Do you really think that you are saving yourself or making life more difficult for your children and so forth? Because when you have so many children from different men, then what happens? Sometimes they will run away from you and there's no man in the life. So then there's no discipline, there's nothing. One will get involved in drugs, one lady, the daughter will run away with somebody. But because there's no father, there's no discipline, and then all this happens. But how the whole thing started? Because you want to have this husband, one at a time, obviously. So after the iddat, but the Quran is teaching us, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, it's because of your own deeds and your own actions. So think about it properly.
Let's go, inshallah, for an ad break. I see Titi from Cape Town says, Kasi, dear Ustad, she wants to phone you to explain to you what happened to her 8th husband, Ustad. Can she contact you after the program?
No. Wait, auntie, don't phone me. I guess buy a beer stuff. Or make dua for you. We make dua for you. You want to explain, we'll just make G, and all these things. Maybe the time we finish, then the 9th one also is gone. Then we're looking for the 10th one, you see. So we don't want all that. Please.
Well, it's exactly now 13 minutes to 12 for 084-786-3132. I see many listeners want today's podcast of the Bliss of Marriage from Swaziland and Mauritius. So inshallah, we will be sending it out to you after the program. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I performed my 2 farad of Fajr. By mistake, I read the same surah in both rakats. Do I need to make sajda sahw or repeat my salah? Or is it okay, Ustad?
Remember, for your sunnat of fajr, let's say you're supposed to read Qul Ya Al-Kafirun, Qul Wallah, which is the sunnat qiraat to read, right after Surah Fatiha, obviously. Now, by mistake, you read Qul Ya Al-Kafirun in both rakats, or you read Qul Wallah in both rakats. So, first question, is the salat valid? Yes, the salat is valid. Is there sajda so? No, there's no sajda so. But to do so is makruh, is not good, is undesirable, but remember your salat is valid. So in future, before you start your salat, say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khinzab. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection from khinzab. Khinzab is the name of the shaitan who confuses us and blows our fuses in salat. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And Nabi alayhi salam said, he comes and the people don't know which rakat they in, what they're doing, and so forth. So therefore, we must always be aware and try and read salat with devotion, concentration, and so forth. So in a case like that, remember the point I'm making, your salat is valid and no need for sajda. So
Ustad, is a non-Muslim listening to us, the listener says, sir, I have two husbands, one is Muslim and one is not. So which surname should I give my daughter? Sir, Ustad.
Remember, lady, sister, you can't have two husbands and that Muslim that who is sleeping with you or you sleeping with him, every minute, every moment, Allah's curse is on him. Because remember that he knows that you are a non-Muslim, and for him to take you as his wife and so-called, and he's fooling you. So in a case like that, your children are all haram and illegitimate, and the lineage Islamically will go to the mother. So you must sever all ties with him, with that Muslim one, and tell him that he is committing a major sin, committing adultery if he's married to his Muslim wife, or committing fornication if he's not married. For fornication in Islam, there's 100 lashes per May, for the male and female, enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 24, verses number 2 and 3. Fajlidu kulla wahidin min umamiyata jalda. So in a case like that, remember that 100 lashes both will be meted out to both parties is fornication. And if it is adultery, then is the death penalty. So there's no such thing that you have two husbands one time and then whose surname. So remember, all that is haram, the lineage will go to the mother because they are illegitimate children. But the concern here will be that Muslim person, you say he's Muslim, he knows he's committing haram and an action that's totally unlawful. So you must tell him that he must get out of your life, and then you can settle down with a non-Muslim. So that will be fine for you and for him. But for the Muslim, you have to sever all ties with him. Unless you become a Muslim and then you get rid of the non-Muslim and this Muslim person, then you make a nikah, proper marriage ceremony, and all this what you are doing now, it's all haram, unlawful. And every minute, every moment, every second, Allah's curse is on all parties involved.
I see a listener from Lanaja says, dear Mufti Sahib, why don't you talk about it? Especially the people from India and Pakistan, is Mufti Sahib, there's a lot of hawala going on here in Lanaja. Please, Mufti Sahib.
You must remember, whatever people ask us, we will speak about it. We don't have any hidden cows and so forth that we won't speak about this. We spoke about this. What is happening is, we all know that people have money and so forth and so on. And then what happens? They want to transfer it to Dubai. They want to transfer it to this country, that country. And then they get the agents. And then what happens is this. They get caught here at the airport, or that the deal goes sour, and then they have the hitmen. We know of people who got killed in this type of things here. So you must remember, they hire the hitmen and they kill the person because the sums are so big, million dollars and so forth. So therefore, when people ask me, is this hawala, the way it's done, is it permissible? I say, no, it's not permissible. One is, you must remember, you're breaking the law of the country. Second one is this, Islamically also is not permissible. because so many bribery is taking place, corruption is taking place and so forth. They have to bribe the officials at the airport, they have to bribe this person, that person. So whatever is haram is haram. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Al-Halal Ubayyinun, Wal-Haram Ubayyinun. So see now, our brother Hafiz Yasin Bhikkhu, he is kidnapped. We make dua, but people will make so many stories, we don't know which is the true story and so forth. The Moti children, you must remember, they were kidnapped. But you can see the newspapers, what things are coming out, and they are saying it's not like that. So who's speaking the truth, who's not speaking the truth? Only Almighty Allah knows, we don't know. But what we are saying is this: what is halal will remain halal, what is haram will remain haram. And this today I spoke of it in a masjid after Fajr. I said that Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sheikhul Hadith Nawarullah Barakatahu, how he wrote a book, you must remember, on the fazail of Salat, the fazail of Ramadan, fazail of Hajj and Sadaqat and all. He wrote a book, Fazail Tijarat, the virtues of business. But remember that all that virtues is for that person there who is a Siddiq. He is a Tajir, his business, and he is honest and is man of integrity. Not doing under deals and shady deals and crooked deals and all these type of things here. So in Islam, for those people there who carry out the crooked deals and shady deals and haram deals, Quran says, Surah 83, verse 1, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَوَفِّفِينَ, that woe and destruction to the people who commit fraud and so forth. So that is very, very clear. And today the Ummah, let us be honest, majority are doing that. They riba involved, some deception involved, some bribery involved, some corruption involved. So that is the big problem. And I said that when our income is tainted, polluted, then what we consume also becomes tainted, polluted, or haram some cases, then the good actions will not flow. The vices will emanate from such people, because it's a chain reaction. Your income, what you consume, input and output. And then the sayyad, the vices will come. And if it is pure, halal and tayyiba income, what we consume, we feed our families, our children, so that will be halal and tayyiba. Quran says, Kulu minat tayyibati wa amalu saliha, consume that which is pure and wholesome, remember, and then the righteous actions will come. So that is what is needed and what must be understood.
Subhanallah. Somebody says here, my wife is an alima, dear Mufti Sahab, and I found out that she is married to an India Molana, but married me to get her South African papers. I am devastated. I don't know where to put my face. How do I face my family now? And do I have to divorce her? Anonymous Ustad.
I'm not clear with this question. Let me get, you're confusing me in the process. Let me get this whole story clear. First thing you said, your wife is an alima. Whether she's alima or not, that we can debate the point, so that's not what we're discussing. Then you married her, right? You say you married her. Then after 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, sometime, then you realize, but this alima of yours, she is married to an India Maulana already, previously, and he didn't divorce her or whatever. So she's just using you to get South African papers. Is that the question? It's like that.
Ji Ustad, Ustad says exactly, that's the question.
Yeah. So it means your nikah is not valid. You're living with her in sin. Because why? She, her marriage to her India Maulana is still valid. So on the grounds of deception, she got married to you, and you fell for the trick and so forth. So although by Allah, you will not be a sinner because you did not know about it. So inshallah, Allah will forgive you. But you must expose her and that so-called Maulana husband. Both of them are fraudsters. So she's a fraud. Therefore, I said in the starting, whether she's alima, not alima dead. If she says she's alima and doing all this kind unda danda upside, you must expose them. And her husband, who's an India Molvi, you must expose him also. So how can he, it's like he is renting his wife out to sleep with you so that she can get South African papers. That's what it means she's doing, he's doing, and she's doing. So now, once they get the ID, they get the PR, permanent residence, then she will give you a kick and she will go back to her first husband. The first husband never divorced her or anything, and you were under the impression that she is maybe a virgin or maybe she was not married and so forth. So the whole second nikah, let's call it nikah just for you to understand, is null and void because she is somebody else's wife. Quran says, Surah 4, verse 24, Wal muhsanatu minan nisa, you can't marry somebody else's wife, is haram that. So you must remember that. So your whole thing with her, I hope you don't have children with her. So you must remember in a case like this, so you must separate immediately from her, beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness, all be it on your side, it was deception from their side, but you must expose both of them. This lady and her husband, and both from India, it seems.
One daughter, Ustad.
From this husband.
The
second guy.
G. He's got
now see. So that child, you must remember, the lineage will go to the mother and not to you. Because you must, that nikah is not done. That nikah is null and void. So you must remember. So that child, now imagine ma'asum child. So that child's lineage will go to the mother and not to you. A nikah like this you call batil, totally null and void. So just look at, now see, that's what I say, you know. We can't believe how low Muslims are. And then you're telling me that she's a alima and her husband is a maulana. That's what they said, right?
She was that.
Yeah. So it means both parties are like Molvis, you understood? They said, no, let's do this. So where's that husband's ghairat and his shame and modesty? He rented out his wife. You go sleep with this chap here. He's a nice rich guy and he will fall for it. You can have a child also, it'll be all right. And once we get our papers and all, then you can give him a kick. So imagine, what are we doing? So you must remember, inna lillahi wa inna raji'un. Allah, then we want why Muslims suffer so much. So openly they just used you and Allah. But my advice to you, if you are speaking the truth and you are not lying or anything, then this India Maulana, so-called Maulana and his wife, you must expose them properly, because remember, they took you for a big ride and they're just using you. Allah have mercy on us. Allah Ta'ala forgive our, we all are human beings, we all commit sins, but like this, remember, is going beyond the limit. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us and the Ummah.
You want to come and see Ustad?
No, I don't accept. I don't run all these things. There you go to the Jamiyats and Ulama, wherever you are. Okay, next up we have the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter we have the Majlis of Mufti Ibrahim Saleji of Ispingo Beach, 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, and thereafter Surah Yasin, verses 12 to 21, and thereafter 130 to 2 Surah Bani Israel, verses 98 to verse 102, then 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:30, 3:35 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:35 to 4 Surah Idha Ja'a Nasrullah by Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri in Urdu, the synopsis summary, 4 to 5 Surah An-Naml by Mona Ridwan Kaji, 5 to 7 Mona Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 the repeat of Surah Yasin, the tafsir verses 12 to 21, 7:30 to 8 will be inshallah Mona Yunus Patel's advices, 8 to 10 Brother Shafa'at with his special guest, month after dinner, and then 10 to 12 the repeat of Sunday's Q&A inshallah. So we're giving you from 12 now to 12 at night. Barakallahu fiq. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And of course tomorrow morning 4 to 6 As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. And listeners of Markaz Sahaba, don't forget this coming Thursday at 10:40, Haji Yusuf Ali says I will be having Appa Fatima's Mammon Akni recipe on Thursday inshallah at 20 to 11. That's 10:40 a.m.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.